Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, October 6th. Bullish oil sends gas up. TexasGasPrices.com says $2.99 is now cheapest gas in Midland. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Stores selling gasoline in Midland were quick to increase the price of gasoline as the oil market continued its latest bullish run, according to AAA Texas. The organization reported that the average in Midland jumped around 10 cents on Wednesday compared to Tuesday, while the price increased around 16 cents in Odessa. The average across the state was up from $3.09 to $3.14. Midland's $3.24 average for regular unleaded on Wednesday was more than 9 cents higher than the average 1 week ago. AAA Texas had reported last week that prices across the state had fallen 15 weeks in a row. TexasGasPrices.com reported the cheapest gas at a non-membership store in Midland on Wednesday afternoon was $2.99 at multiple locations across the city, including the Murphy USA in Northwest Midland. The same location was selling unleaded for $2.91 around 24 hours earlier. The price at Sam's Club was $2.91 earlier Wednesday afternoon. The price of West Texas Intermediate settled at $87.76, an increase of $1.24 on Wednesday, following the news of an OPEC Plus production cut. It was a third straight day of price increases this week. WTI settled at $79.49 on Friday. Pfluger says, cuts highlight need for more U.S. oil. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and Allied Nations announced Wednesday they will cut production 2 million barrels a day beginning in November. Representative August Pfluger, the San Angelo Republican, whose District 11 includes a chunk of the Permian Basin, said the move highlights the need to support domestic oil and natural gas producers. In a statement provided to the Reporter Telegram, he commented, quote, "Energy is fundamental to our society. President Joe Biden's crowning policy achievement will be making America more dependent on foreign countries for our energy needs in order to appease green interest groups. We must refocus on restoring American energy independence. The first step should be ending government-made barriers to oil and gas investment and rolling back regulatory burdens put forth by the Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA. Let's put Odessa, Texas, over OPEC and encourage more American production," end quote. Asked how he hopes to see U.S. producers incentivized to increase output, despite concerns about upsetting OPEC and unleashing another price war, he told the Reporter Telegram by email, quote, "President Biden has done everything possible through rhetoric and policy to cripple American energy production, hamper investment in future innovation, and relinquish global energy dominance to foreign competitors. Republicans are focused on restoring American energy independence. I have introduced legislation to repeal the harmful natural gas tax passed by Democrats and ensure American energy producers can permit projects in a timely manner. Congress should vote on this type of legislation instead of blaming American oil and gas companies for a problem they did not create," end quote. Wayne Christian, chairman of the Railroad Commission, called on President Biden to help unleash domestic production to lower prices for consumers. Quote, "Winter is coming. The U.S. and our European allies need more U.S. oil and gas today, not after midterm election," Christian said in a statement to the Reporter Telegram. Quote, OPEC Plus and Putin aren't the answer to our energy security. Harnessing the Permian Basin is. We achieved energy independence under former President Trump in 2019 by increasing U.S. production, and we can do it again. End quote. Ed Longenecker, president of the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, told a Reporter Telegram by email, quote, OPEC's oil output cuts make clear once again why it is so important for the U.S. to encourage domestic oil and gas production and to continue exporting our resources into the global market. Without Texas oil, the impact of OPEC's cuts would be far greater on prices, U.S. consumers, and the current energy crisis facing our allies abroad. This year, President Biden implored OPEC to increase production numerous times while concurrently undercutting domestic production with policies that hinder oil and gas development. It has become painfully evident that we must develop coherent policy to support growing energy demand. Policymakers and this administration must work with the U.S. oil and natural gas industry to support investments in energy infrastructure and domestic production so we are no longer reliant on OPEC and hostile regimes that use energy as a political weapon. End quote. Business Buzz. Lucchese announces October 14th opening for Midland location. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Lucchese, the storied Western company selling boots, shoes, apparel, and accessories, is opening its first store in Midland on October 14th at 2705 North Big Spring Street, according to a statement sent to the Reporter Telegram. Lucchese officials state that the space is architecturally designed to take into consideration the unique qualities of Midland. Quote, it is with great pleasure that we announce our Midland store, said Lucchese President Doug Kindy. Quote, from business leaders to oilmen and ranchers, we are eager to supply the thriving Permian Basin community with a selection of handmade boots and Western products that will fit any aspect of life. End quote. The release stated that the Midland location will feature boot designs handcrafted in El Paso. There also will be products available at a wide range of price points. The signature Lucchese shopping experience will remain intact in Midland, as shoppers can have their boots custom fitted to their feet. The Midland store's design will incorporate Western motifs and the use of natural materials like wood and leather, according to the release. The store will hold a boots and beverages event for Midland customers on October 15th and 16th. The store's opening will be celebrated on October 28th during a grand opening party with a performance by country artist Carson Jeffrey. There also will be food provided by Half Acre.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, October 6th, 2022. Community Roundup. City of Midland, Halloween Fest. The City of Midland Parks and Recreation Department invites local businesses, churches, and organizations to participate in the 10th annual Halloween Fest to help promote a free and safe Halloween. Booth space is available and is a great way to promote your business or organization and help hand out candy to the children of Midland. Businesses should have candy for at least 1,000 kids. Businesses must be registered with Parks and Wildlife before the event. To reserve a spot, please contact LaSalle Williams at lswilliams@midlandtexas.gov or by phone at 432-685-7381. This year, the event will take place from 6 to 8 p.m., October 27th. and it will be held at MLK Park next to the MLK Center, 2300 Butternut Lane. Midland Association of Retired School Personnel. The Midland Association of Retired School Personnel will host its next meeting Thursday at First Baptist Church, 2104 West Louisiana. The meeting will begin at 11:45 a.m. and lunch will be $6. For reservations, call, text, or email Anita Patton at 349-6822 or apatton123@sbcglobal.net. Texas Size Garage Sale. Senior Life Midland will have its Texas Size Garage Sale from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Friday and Saturday at 407 East Scarborough Drive. Scholarships for Writers Workshop. There will be full-ride scholarships to students in West Texas high schools, colleges, and the University of Texas Permian Basin, as well as to four teachers of English or deserving youth to the annual Writers Workshop Saturday and Sunday at Midland College. For a full list of events and participating authors and agents, see https://pbbookies.com/permian-basin-writers-workshop/. Calendar. Texas Size Garage Sale, Friday and Saturday, and October 11th and 12th, at 407 East Scarborough Drive. Writers Workshop, Saturday and Sunday at Midland College. Pink in the Park, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. October 15th at Centennial Park. City of Midland Health Department in conjunction with Familia Dental, Fall Festival and Resource Fair, 1 to 4 p.m. October 15th at Dennis the Menace Park, 2201 West Indiana. 33rd Annual Tom Arnold Memorial Fish Fry, 5 to 8 p.m. October 15th at the American Legion Building, 501 Veterans Air Park Lane. Midland's Northside Lions Club's 19th Annual Roar with Laughter Hilarity Review Fundraiser, 7:30 p.m. October 15th at the Hispanic Cultural Center. Alzheimer's Association to End Alzheimer's, 9 a.m. October 15th at the Cimarex Pavilion, 5514 Champions Drive. Visit alz.org/walk. West Texas Women's Symposium, October 19th and 20th at the Bush Convention Center. Fall Festivals, Trunk or Treats, and Country Fairs. Midland Police Department, Candy for Cans, Trunk or Treat, 6 to 8 p.m., October 21st at Hogan Park, 1201 East Wadley. Midland Fire Department, Trunk or Treat, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., October 22nd, at the Central Fire Station, 1500 West Wall. Halloween Fest, 6 to 8 p.m., October 27th, at MLK Park, 2300 Butternut Lane. Midland Bible Church Country Fair, 4 to 7 p.m. October 30th at 5900 Whitman. Trunk or Treat, 5 to 7 p.m. October 30th at Wilshire Baptist Church, 801 South Bentwood Drive. Election 2022. Debates or forums scheduled. Reporter Telegram MISD debates October 18th for District 3, 7 p.m. District 5, 7:45 p.m., District 6, 8:30 p.m., at the Carrasco Room at Midland College. Reporter Telegram City of Midland Debates, October 20th, District 4, 7 p.m., Mayoral, 7:50 p.m., in the Carrasco Room at Midland College. League of Women Voters, October 6th, MISD, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., and City of Midland, 6:45 to 7:45 p.m., in the Carrasco Room at Midland College. Basin PBS, October 11th, 13th, and 17th. The debates will be televised. MISD School Board from 7 to 8:30 p.m. October 11th. Mayoral Forum from 7 to 8 p.m. October 13th. And Midland City Council from 7 to 8 p.m. October 17th. The Midland Republican National Hispanic Assembly will have forums October 17th and 19th. The MISD candidates will go from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Spring Hill Suites, 5716 Deauville Drive. The Midland City Council forums will be from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. for mayor, October 19th, and from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. for District 4. The Negro Business and Professional Women's Club of Midland on October 22nd at the MLK Junior Community Center. The forums will include judges, school board, and city council candidates at 10 a.m. and mayoral candidates at 1 p.m. Elections Office needs bilingual workers. The Midland County Elections Office is looking for bilingual workers to help with early voting. Those interested and able to speak English and Spanish can give the Elections Office a call at 432-688-4890. Health Events. Midland Health is offering a free support group for anyone interested in learning about diabetic and cardiovascular health. It will be held October 10th, every second Monday of the month, from 6 to 7 p.m. at First Baptist Church, 2104 West Louisiana, room D100 and 102. Call 432-221-2285 or email morgan.tennis@midlandhealth.org for more information. COVID-19 bivalent vaccine clinic for anyone 12 years of age and older will be held from 3 to 4:30 p.m. October 13th at the F. Marie Hall Outpatient Center, 4214 Andrews Highway. Register at midlandhealth.org/COVID-19. Maverick Players, a comedy, I Left My Dignity in My Other Purse, by Shelley Chester. Friday and Saturday, October 14th and 15th, Sunday matinee, October 16th, Fun Monday, October 17th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, October 20th through 22nd, and Sunday matinee, October 23rd. Evening curtain at 7:30, matinee at 2:30. $10 tickets for matinees and weekdays, $15 tickets on Friday and Saturday at the VFW Post 4149, 409 Veterans Air Park Drive. For reservations, call 432-260-0044 or just pay at the door. So you want to write a play? Maverick Players invite you to a free playwriting workshop with Shelley Chester, award-winning playwright and author of the Maverick Players production, I Left My Dignity in My Other Purse, Thursday, October 13th, from 12 noon to 2 p.m. at the Centennial Library. Midland College to Celebrate 50 Years with Free Concert by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Established in 1969, the Permian Basin Junior College system engulfed Midland Independent School District, sparking controversy in the Tall City after residents requested a Midland campus. Originally presented in existing public school facilities, Midland College formed. However, public pressure demanded a new construction project. Long story short, the people of Odessa said no. Midlanders fought back, and in October 1972, annexation occurred, letting Midland form the separate community college district we all know and support today. To honor the 50-year-old triumph, the Texas Trio will perform a Boots Guten Shindig in the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center, 3600 North Garfield, 7:30 p.m. Saturday. Made up of accomplished singer-producer Kyle Park, two-time Grammy Award winner Jason Roberts, and keyboardist John Michael Whitby from George Strait's Ace in the Hole band, the Texas natives combine country music and western swing to give audiences a performance full of two-steppin' tunes and good times. Besides live music, local food trucks such as Don Thomas Cafe, Gilly's Mobile Diner, Keith's Sweets, and West Texas Chuck Wagon will be parked and serving up community favorite dishes. Beer and wine will be available for $5 a ticket, sold at door one of the Shap Center, a limit of 2 tickets per guest and cash only. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. For questions, visit midland.edu or call 432-685-4526 or email foundation@midland.edu. Three things to do in Midland. Sip and paint a Halloween portrait. Grab a friend, partner, or neighbor and enjoy an evening of relaxed artistic direction while indulging in a glass of wine and biting into a food of choice. Hosted by Maine's Canvas and Crafts, artists will choose between 3 designs. 3 horizontal jack-o'-lanterns accompanied with Happy Halloween, witches' feet sticking out of a cauldron, or skeletons representative of Dia de los Muertos. Held in Overlook Sky Lounge of the DoubleTree Hotel by Hilton downtown, the 2.5-hour event provides patrons with an outlined canvas, all necessary materials to create the masterpiece, and instructions from a local artist. Tickets run $35 and can be bought at bit.ly/3fkumsl.food. Food and drinks sold separately and tickets are non-refundable. For more information, visit mainscanvasandcrafts.com Friday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. at 117 West Wall. Get your scare on. The West Texas Fear Fest implements more than Halloween-themed games. Held at Rolling Sevens Ranch, here are a few things guests can expect. Booths. Everything from candles and healing stones to cupcakes and jewelry can be found at one of 32 vendors, split up indoor and outdoor, filling the area. Some participants include Bathhouse Apothecary, Galactic Ghoul Creations, Brain Candy Apparel, U.S. Army, Sanctuary Weird, A Sweets and Treats, Wicked Siren Company, and more. Artists. The festival encompasses a wide range of creativity. For artist tables, expect Avandran Art, Cold Hearted Art Studio, Jelly Art, and 9 other local groups. As for music, 14 different performers take the stage, split up between an indoor and outdoor stage. Worried about catching the Cowboys? Don't fret. Starting at the 3 p.m. kickoff, the game will be showing on the outdoor screen. Some musical guests and DJs include Sushil Roll, Prisma, Insides, Faceless, DLP, and more. Other performers include Flow Artists, Loopy Bunny, and Mushroom Queen. Kids Zone. With a whole corner dedicated to littles, children can bob for apples, pin the eye and spider, compete in skeleton limbo, and a costume contest. Make caramel apples, win a sack race or eyeball race, play spider ring toss, and more. There will also be a double showing of Hocus Pocus and Hocus Pocus 2 from 5:30 to 9 p.m. Kids need to leave after that as the event becomes 18+. Other spooky activities. Don't think there's enough to do yet? Then make sure to check out the Tattoo Room, Silent Auction, Cash Bar, Play in the Beer Pong Tournament, $10 entry fee, or Cornhole Games, Hold Tarantulas and Snakes in the Fear Factor Room, Go Through Haunted Mazes, Win Costume Contests, and of course, much, much more. For more information, such as a full list of vendors and performers, please visit the event Facebook page at bit.ly/3SGP1E7. Tickets can be bought at bit.ly/3VGFGJE. 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. Sunday at 11700 West County Road 122. Hear the tunes of a Texas classic. Although they formed on a farm in Pawpaw, West Virginia, Asleep at the Wheel took over the Texas music scene in 1973 after landing in Austin. Taking sounds from Western swing and honky-tonk country, the 7-person crew provides a classic Lone Star experience full of fiddle playing, harmonica meddling, electrical bursts of energy. With 10 Grammy Awards under their belts, the band serves 5 decades worth of musical experience with modern influences and players. Fan favorites such as The Letter That Johnny Walker Read, Miles and Miles of Texas, and more are sure to make an appearance at their Wagner Knoll one-night-only showing. Tickets start at $11, $8 for students, and can be bought at wagnerknoll.com. Saturday, doors open at 6:30 p.m., show at 7:30 p.m. at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788. Tom Lee Exhibition Open at Museum of the Southwest by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Studio painter, novelist, World War II artists correspondent for Life magazine, commercial artist and muralist, just some of the creative realms El Paso native Tom Lee worked in during his lifetime. Commonly marked as the patron artist of West Texas, Lee uses influence from his years in the border city as well as time spent traveling to showcase the extraordinary and influential moments he witnessed. What's really unique about him is that from project to project, genre to genre, his style will change to fit, Matthew Ward, curator for the Museum of the Southwest, told the Reporter Telegram. As you look, each drawing or painting goes from modernistic and very stylized compared to a more naturalistic, impressionistic landscape. They're also highly naturalistic drawings. After exploring Lee's Ode to the West, museum visitors will find a glass casing filled with illustrations from the artist's reign as a World War II correspondent for Life magazine. In the transparent rectangle, gory depictions, including the painting that gave us the phrase 1,000-yard stare, tell a story no history class could ever unveil. The sketches he would do out in the field, on the battlefield, he would then take back into the studio and make into full paintings, and those appeared in Life magazine, Ward said. PTSD was not formally identified by medicine until the Vietnam War, but clearly Tom Lee is identifying that that kind of trauma existed in World War II. Other installation pieces include the pioneer's actual sketchbook, littered with notes and drawings, biography, and more. The largest painting, the 1944 mural of a Longhorn stampede in an electrical storm Lee did for the Odessa Post Office. Overall, the collection not only stands as a historical marker of American history, but of West Texas as well. The graceful combination of both tragedy and nostalgia presented throughout the works provide viewers with an unparalleled understanding of life in the 1900s and how a profession of art encompassed more lessons of life than the naked eye. What's up with Midland? The Blue Door. Barktoberfest, October 13th. Pottery Class, October 22nd. Scary Movie Trivia, October 27th. Christ Church Anglican. Festival of St. Francis Pet Blessing, plus 5K, October 22nd. The Doubletree Hotel. Wine and Paint Party, Friday. The Garlic Press. Beer Dinner, October 17th. Hispanic Culture Center. Roar with Laughter, hosted by Midland Northside Lions Club, October 15th. At the Horseshoe Arena. Rig Zone Oil and Gas Career Fair, Thursday. Coey Wetzel, Thursday. Ducks Unlimited Banquet, October 12th. John Pardee, October 13th. 7th Annual West Texas Tats and Fades Tattoo and Barber Convention, October 14th through 16th. Power of the Purse, October 27th. Cruise for a Cause Car Show, October 29th. At Jake's Clay's, Saving True Pears and Pink the Basin, 10th Anniversary, Friday. Micro Market, Bar Crawl, October 29th. Midland Beer Garden, Bingo Weekend, October, Friday, and Saturday. Pop-up Market Brunch, Sunday. Emo Karaoke, October 14th and 15th. Drag Night, October 22nd. Pride Center Halloween Party, October 28th. Scaryoke Contest, October 29th. At Midland College, 50th Anniversary Celebration, Saturday. at Midland Community Theater. A Monster Calls, October 7th through 16th. Midland Humane Coalition, Furriesta Gala, October 22nd. Miss Casey's Wonderland, Early Bird Christmas Tree Sale, benefiting the Field's Edge, October 8th through 16th. Fall Open House, October 21st and 22nd. Pumpkin Patch and Photo Ops, all October. Museum of the Southwest, Midland Downtown Farmers Market, 8 a.m. to noon, Saturday. Rolling Sevens Ranch, Wildcatters Ball, Saturday. West Texas Fear Fest, Sunday. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Swan Lake, Thursday. Asleep at the Wheel, Saturday. Jeremy Camp, I Still Believe Tour, Sunday. Divas 3, October 11th. Teo Gonzalez and Rogelio Ramos, Uni 2 Tour, October 13th. Cinema Under the Stars, Hocus Pocus, October 20th.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, October 6th. Ezekiel Porras Murillo Sr., age 83, of Midland, passed away October 3rd. He was born on April 19, 1939, to Ramon Murillo Porras and Felicia Rodriguez in Mexico. He is survived by two daughters, Felisa Murillo Villafranco, Amanda Murillo Miranda, as well as six sons, Cruz Murillo, Martin Murillo, Emiliano Murillo, Ramon Murillo, Ezekiel Murillo Jr., Gustavo Murillo, as well as many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Visitation will be on Thursday, October 6th at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m., with a rosary being recited at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. on Friday, October 7th, at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church. Interment will follow at Fairview Cemetery. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Johnny Williams was born July 25, 1925, in Longview, Texas, to Fred Williams and Minnie Wilkerson Williams. Johnny served in the U.S. Army, and upon his return to civilian life, he attended the University of Southern California, where he majored in engineering and joined the football team. After leaving USC, he moved to Midland in 1950, where he taught mathematics and coached football, track, and field at George Washington Carver High School. During his tenure at Carver, he coached Midland's first football state championship team in 1961. He worked at Carver until it closed in 1968. Over a 43-year career, he taught and coached at Carver, Robert E. Lee, and Midland Senior High Schools, the only teacher coach to work at all three Midland high schools. He was preceded in death by his parents, his brother J.D. Williams, and sister Artelia Perry. To cherish his memory, he leaves his wife of 71 years, Margaret, his daughter, Diane Colton Smith, son, Michael L. Williams, daughter, Pamela Williams Hughes, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. A visitation service will be held on Friday, October 7th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., with a rosary at 7 p.m. at Moore Funeral Home, 1219 North Davis Drive in Arlington, Texas. The funeral mass will occur on Saturday, October 8th at 1 p.m. at Most Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church in Arlington, Texas. A committal service will occur Saturday, October 8th at 2:30 p.m. at Moore Funeral Home in Arlington, Texas. Michael Allen Burkholder, age 86, passed away on Tuesday, September 27th, at his home in Granbury, Texas. Michael was one of three sons born to Ralph and Janice Burkholder on April 9, 1936, in Pecos, Texas. On August 26, 1955, he married Dixie Jo Cowan, and together they had two daughters. Survived by his loving wife of 67 years, Dixie Cowan Burkholder, they had most recently enjoyed a slower-paced life at Lake Granbury after living most of their life in Pecos. Mike served as Pecos City Councilman and as a member of the Pecos Economic Development Board. Michael Allen Burkholder is survived by his large family, his wife Dixie, and daughters Sean and her husband Gary Buck Mitchell, Paige, and husband Joseph Kleber Young III, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. A celebration of life graveside service is planned for him on Saturday, November 12th, at Smith School Creek Cemetery in Lampasas County at 2 p.m. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations can be made to the Sean Avery Young Rademacher Doctor of Physical Therapy Scholarship Fund at Texas Tech University or a charity of your choice. For more information, visit www.wileyfuneralhome.com. O.G. Lanier, age 92, of Voss, died Monday, October 3rd, at his residence. The family will host a time of visitation and reflection from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Saturday, October 8th, followed by a funeral service at 1 p.m. at Elm Street Church of Christ, 216 West Elm Street in Coleman, with Lonnie Hemmel officiating. Interment with military honors will follow at 4 p.m. Saturday, October 8th, in the Ranger Evergreen Cemetery. Services are entrusted to Stevens Funeral Home, 400 West Pecan Street in Coleman. He was born Oscar Gilbert Lanier on July 28, 1930, in Ranger, Texas, to Oscar Gilbert Lanier and Dora Elizabeth Mason Lanier. O.G. grew up in Ranger and graduated from Ranger High School. He was preceded in death by his wife, Deanne Lanier, his parents, Oscar and Dora Lanier, and one sister, Mary Allen Pruitt. He is survived by two sons, John Lanier of Midland and Joel Lanier and wife Kim of Seminole, as well as several grandchildren and many nieces and nephews. The family suggests memorials in memory of O.G. to the Midland Christian School, 2001 Culver Drive in Midland, 79705, or to Camp Blue Haven at www.campbluehaven.com. Olivia Flores de Natera, age 80, passed away on Tuesday, October 22nd in Midland. Public viewing will be on Thursday from 5 p.m. until 9 p.m. and Friday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Celebration of life at 7 p.m. for both days. With celebration of her life service at 1 p.m. on Saturday, October 8th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Olivia was born on July 4, 1942, to Dominga Amiliquias Flores in Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico. She married Jose Natera in 1960 and raised six children. She is survived by her husband, Jose Natera, and their six children, Teresa Baeza Daniel, Gustavo Natera Alma, Linda Carrasco Moro, Miguel Natera, Karina Aranda Hector, and Naira Natera Aurelio. Sisters Eva Jordan and Maria Flores, brothers Tomas Flores and Aiden Flores. Olivia has reunited with her grandchild, Norina Natera, her parents, and two sisters and three brothers. She is also survived by several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Virginia Catherine Kingan, age 80, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, August 30th. Virginia was born on January 29th, 1942, in Onawa, Iowa, to Virginia Clark and Roderick Clark. In December of 1967, Virginia met Tom Kingan while he was visiting El Paso, Texas. They married on June 1st, 1968, at the U.S. Navy Chapel in San Diego, California. During his Navy career, they traveled the world, living in Japan, San Diego, California, Norfolk, Virginia, and Virginia Beach. The Kingans moved to Midland, Texas in November of 1999 and found retirement life to be an ongoing experience. Georgia Elizabeth Summers, age 89, of Midland, passed away on October 3rd at home with her loving family by her side. Georgia was born in Waterloo, Iowa, to Agnes and Michael Zafiris on October 9, 1932. She graduated from high school in 1950 and soon after started working for Mountain Bell Telephone Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. She moved west to Arizona to be closer to family and then to El Paso, Texas. She met her husband, L. Hugh Summers, in El Paso, and they married on August 4, 1962. They moved to Midland in 1982. Georgia was preceded in death by her husband, L. Hugh Summers, her brothers, John and Paul Zafiris, parents Agnes and Michael Zafiris, her sisters-in-law, Carol Lazenberry and Patsy Owens, brother-in-laws, Daniel Lazenberry, William Summers, Merle Summers, Dean Owens, as well as many lifelong friends. Georgia is survived by her daughters, Agnes Yall and her husband, Michael, Peggy Smith and her husband, Brady, Patty Bisclock and her husband, Joe, as well as several grandchildren. Rosary will be held at 7 p.m. on Thursday, October 6th at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland, with Monsignor Larry Droll officiating. Interment will follow at Resthaven Memorial Park of Midland. Arrangements are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to CASA of West Texas. Joyce Chapman, age 86, of Midland, passed away October 4th. There will be no service. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, October 6th. Hidden Building, Big Purpose. Transition Center teaches life skills. Marking Disability Employment Awareness Month, Ector County ISD on Wednesday held tours of its 18-plus Transition Living Center for students with disabilities. Representatives from the city, county, state, community, and district were given tours of the facility at 1111 West 12th Street. It serves about 35 students age 18 to 21, teaching them life skills like grocery shopping, social skills, and going to job sites. They usually stay 3 years. TLC has been in the 12th Street building for 4 years, and the program has been going for 6 years. Dallas Kennedy, a transition facilitator with ECISD, said, he stressed the importance of hiring people with special needs, as their employment rate is 37% nationally. Kennedy added that improved job training also is needed. Everybody needs some people that are willing to work, and I'm telling you, we've got a bunch of men and women in this town that want to work, that are willing to work, that are capable of work. They might need some reasonable accommodations, but they want to work and they're willing to work, Kennedy said. He asked what local, state, and national leaders could do to write laws and policies that encourage inclusive employment. We want to encourage businesses to come here, but when businesses ask for tax breaks, when they ask for limits on their valuations, can part of that Evaluation B, hey, are you doing employment for everyone? What accommodations are you doing to employ everyone? What reasonable accommodations are you willing to put in place? And what are you doing to encourage equitable hiring practices in our community? Kennedy said, the building, which is kind of hidden, includes classrooms and offices, but part of it is set up like a house with a washer and dryer, a bedroom, living room, recreation room, and kitchen. It also features office equipment, a virtual reality room where students learn how to chop vegetables before they actually chop them, and across the street, for example. Kennedy said they have had students employed at restaurants, Albertsons, repairing lawnmowers, and at the Ector County Elections Office. We actually had one young man at the Ector County Election Board. They asked him to put some letters in an envelope, and he noticed that they had the wrong election day on their letters. So he actually saved the county a whole lot of heartache because he caught that they had the wrong day on there, Kennedy said. He added that they have never had an employer who didn't like the students. Our students are a delight, and the people love them. They're hard workers. We've never had any issues with employers, Kennedy said. Anyone who graduates with an individual education plan and still has skills they need to work on can be educated until they are 21. We see a lot of progress. We've got a lot of students that once they leave here, they're almost ready to live completely on their own. Others are able just to take care of themselves inside of their home, Kennedy said. Micah Pellegrew, ECISD Special Education Supervisor, said the departments of Autism, Homebound, and 18+, that she oversees, are all housed within the building. Joseph Boyd was the MC for Wednesday's event. Josh Gomez talked about what he had learned at the Transition Learning Center, and Jaden Talley led the Pledge of Allegiance. Mayor Pro Tem Mary Willis read a proclamation for Disability Employment Awareness Month. State Senator-elect Kevin Sparks, Republican Midland, said it's exciting to see the training going on at TLC. It's just encouraging to see the community making provisions for those who need a little special help. It's kind of fun to see how excited they are, Sparks said. County Judge-elect Dustin Fawcett said he thinks it's terrific that TLC is available to help students learn the skills they need to function in society. Oftentimes, there are some things that we take for granted that they're really helping them out with, and especially to get them into the workforce. It's a tremendous asset to the community, Fawcett said. It's awesome. In April, the district announced it had been selected to receive an Innovative Services for Students with Autism grant from Texas Education Agency, TEA, in the amount of $2,253,140. This project is a collaboration with Midland ISD and Big Spring ISD, who will receive funds to serve their districts as well. ECISD has identified 334 students living with autism, while Midland ISD has 329, and Big Spring ISD reported 51 students with autism. Kennedy said they also recently got a $10,000 grant from James Avery to start outdoor classrooms. We're going to want to teach them outdoor skills such as cooking and grilling outdoors, growing vegetables, being able to make healthy meals. We're working on getting the other $50,000 to get the rest of the equipment that we need. We've got the foundation going, and it's going to be wheelchair accessible, Kennedy said. Investing in the arts. Odessa Arts announces Mural Fest. Odessa Arts has announced the date for the inaugural Mural Fest, which will take place next spring from May 12th and 13th in downtown Odessa. The event will serve as a partnership between Odessa Arts, Downtown Odessa and Discover Odessa, and United Supermarkets. The announcement was made during a presentation Wednesday at Market Street. Wednesday's event was also the announcement of a continued partnership between United Supermarkets and Odessa Arts. The festival will center on the creation of 5 new murals at the downtown footprint. Attendees will be able to watch and participate in the creation of these artworks while enjoying outdoor art activities, performances, and food trucks. We're very excited to be able to bring a festival to downtown Odessa, unlike something the Permian Basin has seen before, Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm said. Usually we have a festival or a big party. Once it's over, it's gone. All you have to do is pick up trash, and it's like it never happened. With Mural Fest, we're going to have 5 permanent murals in downtown Odessa, and every time you see that, you're going to remember the festival. Earlier this year, Odessa Arts launched its Mural Assistance Grant, which helps businesses inside Odessa put art on their walls. Since then, numerous murals have appeared outside of different businesses in town, including Black Tulip and Floral Design on Grandview, and the 3-story tall mural of a longhorn known as Ferdinand on the parking garage adjacent to the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. One of the things that really amazes me, since we've been doing murals over the last 6 months, is how quickly they come together, Hamm said. Ferdinand on the 3-story garage mural was done in 2 weeks. The postcard mural was done in 3 days. We're thinking it's not going to be any longer than a week for any of the muralists to do their work. Hamm said they will be looking for 5 businesses for downtown Odessa for next year's Mural Fest. We've selected 5 businesses that we will provide materials for the artists and the design. Hamm said the businesses will agree to maintain the mural for 10 years. Those who are interested can go to Odessa Arts website at odessaarts.org. Currently, Odessa Arts is also looking for artists to paint the murals. We're searching for artists right now, Hamm said. We're doing an open call for artists across the country. Anybody can apply. We're going to look at numerous works, resumes, and previous works and find out which muralist is the best fit for our community. Interested artists will need to send a resume, references, as well as 5 images of previous works. It's just like a job application, Hamm said. We'll narrow that down to a few finalists. We'll interview the finalists and then we'll select the artists for that. Mural Fest will also include the talents of local musicians, artists, dance groups, and more. The event will also feature local artists' booths. Wednesday's presentation included details on Odessa Arts' new quarterly magazine called Beacon West. When I was growing up here, I was the first to say that there's nothing to do here, but now I'm in a position with the staff of Odessa Arts and the help of the community, especially the help of United. The investment that United is making in the cultural scene here in Odessa is amazing, and I want to thank them so much for what they've done. It enables my staff and I to be able to give something to the community that I didn't have growing up. The new magazine will be available at every United supermarket store, including Market Street in Odessa, as well as every ORMC clinic and the Museum of the Southwest, as well as nearly every hotel in town. It prints January, April, July, and October. United Supermarkets Regional Manager John Jameson talked about the partnership with Odessa Arts. "I think it just shows that we're in it for the long haul," Jameson said. "We are committed. What's cool about this is that 10 or 15 years from now, you're going to drive in downtown Odessa, and it's going to look amazing for us to be a big part of it. We're super excited to be part of it. It's something that future generations will be able to enjoy."
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.